and so the bare mass and charge are not the same as the measured electron mass and charge that are listed in tables of elementary particles. In fact, in order to account for the observable values, which of course are finite, of the mass and charge of the electron, the bare mass and charge must themselves be infinite. The total energy of the atom is thus the sum of two terms, both infinite. The bare energy that is infinite because it depends on the infinite bare mass and charge, and the energy shift calculated by Oppenheimer that is infinite because it receives contributions from virtual photons of unlimited energy. This raises the question, is it possible that these two infinities cancel and leave a finite total energy? At first glance, the answer seemed to be a discouraging no, but Oppenheimer had left something out of his calculation. The energy shift receives contributions not only from processes in which an electron emits and then reabsorbs a photon, but also from processes in which a positron, a photon, and a second electron appear spontaneously out of empty space, with the photon then being absorbed in the annihilation of the positron and the original electron. In fact, this bizarre process must be included in the calculation in order for the final answer for the energy of the atom to depend on the atom's velocity in the way dictated by the special theory of relativity. This is one example of the result found long before by Dirac, that a quantum mechanical theory of the electron is consistent with special relativity only if the theory also contains the positron, the antiparticle of the electron. One of the theorists at Shelter Island was Victor Weisskopf, who had already, in 1936, calculated the energy shift resulting from this positron process and found that it nearly cancels the infinity found by Oppenheimer. To be a little more specific, the inclusion of this positron process made the sum over energies behave like the series 1 plus 1/2 plus 1/3 plus, instead of 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4. Both sums are infinite, but one is less infinite than the other, in the sense that it takes less effort to figure out what to do about it. It was not too hard to guess that if one took the positron process into account, and took into account the difference between the bare mass and charge of the electron and their observed values, then the infinities in the energy shifts would be cancelled altogether. Although Oppenheimer and Weisskopf were at the Shelter Island meeting, the theorist who first calculated the Lamb shift was Hans Bethe. Already famous for his work in nuclear physics, including in the 1930s the description of the chains of nuclear reactions that make the stars shine. Building on the ideas that had been buzzing around Shelter Island,